Thank God we finally have a fire. Oh my God. We've been out here for a while. It's pretty cold. But Mitch has graciously set something up for us, and it's making a big difference.
Yo, I built this shit. You sound impatient. You sound grateful, at least, so I'll give you that.
I am grateful.
But
it's cold out here,
dude. You should have seen me running laps up and down the hill with firewood. I was splitting it with a hatchet. I was wearing a t-shirt, and it's cold out here.
It's cold. It's dark.
Yeah. Those are my lumberjack vibes.
Lumberjack vibes. We are, we're out here in the inky black. It is dark out here.
I heard some wolves in the distance.
There's wolves.
You might hear them.
We're right on the water. We're right at a fire. You may be able to hear it a little bit. We hope you can. And we're all teed up. And it's a certain day today, isn't it?
Halloween night.
Halloween.
Maybe it's Halloween morning.
Not just any day. It is the cursed day throughout the ages. The day of scornful luck.
A day
it is Friday the 13th. The 13th of October, when the dead roam the earth and the pumpkins rain strong and the spirits come out of the graves and haunt the living. Harangue them, haunt them in the gray of the morning when they lie awake in their beds between the witching hour and the hour of the wolf, staring at a fog-covered window with a tree branch going against it, scraping, scratching.
So that was really great. We do pretend it's Halloween night when we do this, usually, though.
Shit.
Usually we sort of it's the Halloween special, so it's Halloween.
Fuck.
The scariest thing of all is when you forget what day it is. Are we keeping that? Is that
we
better?
We absolutely should.
Yeah, so it's Friday the 13th as we record this.
Which is I think people who are in the Halloween spirit and are hopefully enjoying listening to this special episode on Halloween Day. I hope you can, I think they'll be able to respect. They'll be able to think back to what they did on Friday the 13th in October.
It's Friday the 13th.
Day.
It's like 8 degrees. Mitch is cracking a beer. We're sitting by the water, campfire a raging. And we decided that it was time to make a dream, a little bit of a reality. You've heard us tell stories around a campfire before. I'm going to ruin a little bit of it for you. The campfire wasn't real last time out.
What?
It was a digital campfire. This time we're right up in it. You can hear the wood, the crackle, the patter. You hear that? That's crackling, baby. And we've got a couple stories, I think. Maybe some truths. Maybe some lies, maybe a prop, at least one beer, and a margarine bucket full of water.
Yeah, I built a really tall fire, and there's absolutely no way that margarine bucket's going to do a fucking thing, but at least we're close to the water, and if we need to, we can do the ye olde fire brigade, where we pass the margarine bucket up from the water, like the great fires in England in 1666.
The devil's
when
here.
Flames consumed the city, and a woman's cow knocked over a lamp, and the rest of the city burned. That's it. That's all I got. Okay. I mean, it's certainly not all I've got. I've got more.
Do you want to go? Do you have a story for us?
Yeah. I definitely didn't do this last year. I definitely did not recite this story. I might have.
It's called a tradition. We'll allow it.
Every year I recite An Appointment in Samara by W. Somerset Maugham, who I'm not like crazy about as a writer, but
more like W. Somerset Maugham,
kind
bro.
Of a contemporary of guys like Kipling, and you know, writers who I don't particularly care for, but he had an interesting life. And anyway, I'm going to recite An Appointment in Samara. Excuse me. It's Steam Whistle. It's a great beer.
Not a sponsor.
Many.
Wait, no, I gotta try it again.
Many years ago, a rich merchant in Baghdad sent his servant to the marketplace for provisions. And the servant went, and whilst he was in the crowd, he was jostled by a woman. And the woman turned, and when the servant saw her face, he saw that it was no woman at all that had jostled him, but that it was Death. Looked him in the eyes, and so he ran back and said, "Master, please lend me your horse, so that I may ride it to Samarra and escape my fate." And so the master lent his servant his horse, and he dug his spurs into the horse's flank and rode it as fast as he could to Samarra, where Death would not find him there. And then later, the master went to the market and approached Death, and he exclaimed, "Why did you make such a threatening gesture to my servant this morning?" And Death said, "That was not a threatening gesture, it was a start of surprise. I was astonished to see him here in Baghdad, for I have an appointment with him tonight in Samarra."
I know we've heard it a few times now, but that story is genuinely so good.
It's gas.
It's so good.
It's gas.
It's incredible stuff. The fire's loving it. Round of applause from the old crackling wood.
Come on, give us a snap, crackle, pop.
This is a goofier tone than we usually strike in this episode, but I'm okay with it. Liam, how you doing?
Still reeling from that story. It's at this point an October tradition that I hear it from Mitch.
Yeah,
it's in the Grandpa Seth voice every single year. So
Grandpa
I love
Seth.
It.
That's kind of me doing my Boris Karloff impression, because he delivers that exact monologue in Targets, which was actually referenced in our last cast. Well, I guess it won't be our last when you hear this, but we reference Targets every once in a while. Usually, if it's lots of people being shot at once. Yeah.
So was that word for word, or are you like paraphrasing the story?
It's close. It's close to word for word. It's not quite.
He took all the slurs out because it was like the 1840s,
yeah,
or whatever,
whenever he wrote it.
That's a joke.
It's very close. It's very close to word for word, but probably not exact.
You know, jostled
in the crowd. That's accurate. And a start of surprise. I was astonished to see him here. That's all accurate. But yeah,
that's so cool. Could have fooled me. It's a great story.
Before we get to the next story, how are you guys feeling about like how your Halloween season's been so far? I know we're a little early chronologically, as we've established, but
I have had a very unique October. In the last few years, since I have gotten a big boy job and am in a big boy relationship, I find myself less and less time to watch the amount of horror movies that I watched in October's previously. And this year, that is also true, but for a different reason. And so I don't have anything to complain about, because instead of watching horror movies this month, I've watched a few, but time that I could be spent watching horror movies has instead been spent watching the show Gilmore Girls.
Right.
Are you guys familiar with Gilmore Girls? Have you seen it, Mitch?
I've seen some episodes. My roommate Chris loves it.
Chris is a big Gilmore Girls guy?
Huge.
Gilmore guy?
Yeah, he's a big Gilmore Girls guy. I should probably get into it, but I haven't.
I tell you what, it's worth it. It is an incredible show. One of the best I've ever seen. I wish that I discovered it earlier as a kid when it was on TV. I always got it confused with the Golden Girls, so I thought it was a sitcom starring old people. but no, it is actually very similar to another one of my favorite shows, Freaks and Geeks. So if anyone out there has seen a show like that, you know, it's kind of people very well might already know this, I'm late to the party, but I was very surprised to find that it is a small town drama more akin to something like Twin Peaks, except without the supernatural horror-ness. But it's very much an ensemble piece where you just get cozied into this town, getting to know all the people. healthy dose of coming of age teen drama in there, which I love. Really witty dialogue, but not obnoxiously witty. Very healthy conversations where you just hear people talk about their lives and work things out, and you often understand where someone is coming from, even though you don't agree with them. And when I say you, I mean me. This is how I feel watching the show. And so I have just had a blast watching it. And it's also great for the fall season. They have a lot of fall-based episodes, and it just sort of carries that autumnal, cozy up inside sort of feeling. So I have had an amazing time watching Gilmore Girls, and it's been a great October.
I've binged all the Final Destination movies. Actually, in a 48-hour span, I watched... So I'd only seen the third. Then I watched, I guess, the remaining four. And, wow. What a franchise. Actually, that's slightly inaccurate to say. At the time of this recording, I've seen about 40 minutes into the fourth film. And I kind of checked out because I wasn't crazy about the CGI. But even so, what a franchise. I have a great love for it now. And it's all thanks to this podcast that I discovered that movie, and it kind of got me into everything else. So I'm just like super grateful that we have this, and that it introduces us to great things, and we branch out in ways that we hadn't before. So that's taken up a lot of my watching time, but it's not only limited to that in spooky season. I've been watching a bunch of other great horror films. I recently went to the Mayfair with my sister Paige and our friend Brandon, and we saw Claudio Simonetti, who is the frontman of Goblin, which is
Goblin?
the group that composed the soundtrack for Suspiria, and they're touring North America, and they did that in 1977, and they've also composed like Dawn of the Dead soundtrack, Tenebrae.
Profonda Rosa.
Opera, Deep Red, Profonda Rosa, same thing. And so many others. And so it was just really, I was in awe to be in like the same room as the guy who's created the sounds of some of my favorite horror movies, like the soundtracks. And that was a really incredible experience. And it was, you know, really one for the books for this spooky season. Because I love those movies, and what I love most about them is the sound design. So I was just in awe being in the same room as that genius that could produce that. I know that Goblin, as a band, has changed over the years, and he's really the only remaining member. But yeah, that was a really wonderful night, and I'm just so grateful that we have that at our local cinema, of all places, the Mayfair. So that was wonderful.
That is so cool. What about you, Corey?
I haven't gotten to as much movie watching as I would have hoped so far.
You watching Gilmore Girls too?
I wish, dude. It sounds like I should be. Shit. I'm such a Jessica. What are the Gilmore Girls' names?
There's a Lorelai.
Lorelai.
It's three syllables for you.
Yeah.
Emily, Rory. Those are the main girls.
I mean, I guess I'm a Rory. Yeah. Corey Rory.
Yeah.
Rory was as American as a Happy Meal.
It's undeniable. But I've watched some like unexpected stuff. I was at my dad's house for Thanksgiving. We watched some like random sort of choices, including The Nun, which was comical. In a way that I really enjoyed.
Were you having none of it?
I was having absolutely none of it. It's very fun to watch. We also watched a new movie based on a Stephen King short story called The Boogeyman.
Yeah, I saw that in the theater.
You saw the movie?
Yeah.
The movie got a theatrical run?
Oh, big time. It made good money.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. So you saw... Wow, okay. That's... Wow. Mitch is
desperate.
Did
you think it was like a...
I thought it was straight to streaming. Yeah. Mitch is desperate for a mic.
That's from his short stories, Nightmares and Dreamscapes, right? The Boogeyman short story?
I don't remember which book it's from.
It's an early one. Yeah, it's about something in the closet, and it turns out it's like a real killer. But to quote the the first Halloween, the Boogeyman's going to get you. The Boogeyman's going to get you. The Boogeyman's going to get you. And then later he's like, who's the Boogeyman? Michael Myers, apparently.
Did you like it?
I did like it.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, what did I truly think about it?
It's got a Boy Genius song in it. It's pretty cool.
That is cool.
I was overjoyed.
Actually, I don't think it's Nightmares and Dreamscapes. I think it's The Light Shift, or The Night Shift.
I think that's right, because that was his first one, wasn't it?
Speaking of Night Shift.
The Night Shift, yeah.
Speaking of Night Shift, great Lucy Dacus song.
Is that the one they used?
No. I think they used... Gosh, what song did they use? I don't remember.
Yeah, it was cool. I don't remember particularly my thoughts on it. I know it was like a 7 out of 10. Like I was pretty impressed.
Good fundamentals.
Good fundamentals for sure. I actually quite liked the eventual creature design. And a lot of times when a creature is revealed in a big budget horror movie or a decent budget horror movie, they tend to look kind of samey, and I wish that they didn't reveal them, but I thought the Boogeyman reveal and the design was pretty creepy.
Yeah, it was an effective movie. I like how it plays with light. But the movie I think I watch most attentively that I'll give a quick shout-out to is called Watcher, which is sort of like a spiritual It Follows successor, if you're not familiar with it, not least of which because it involves Micah Monroe getting stalked. But I won't get too much into it, but... it's a great, like, paranoia thriller version of your horror movie. And,
what is the premise? Can you say?
Should the leaves outside of the logs have caught fire? Sorry, I wanted to make sure we were being responsible. Could you repeat the question?
What's the premise?
So, she moves with her husband to Romania. He's getting a promotion there. He has some family there. So she doesn't speak the language or know anything. So he's adjusting to a new city, and she notices across the window from their apartment, there's a guy in the window who's just staring, like, every time she's there, just staring back into the apartment. And at first she's just sort of off put by it. It's like a silhouette. You can't really tell who it is. And then it's a silhouette to start, but then after that, she goes up to the window at one point as she's, like, adjusting to this foreign place, and there's that tension sort of inherently baked in. And she does this and just, like, raises her hand and, like, waves and then puts it down. She's like, oh, he didn't wave, so it must not be... He must not be looking. And then he waves. She's like, okay, I'm being, like, watched. And so the paranoia grows of her being, like, I'm being watched by this dude across the way. And the husband is, like, working a lot. He's not really home. He's not taking it seriously. And then she takes matters into her own hands, trying to identify, like, who it is. She ends up, like, following this guy through the city, and it sort of, like, develops from there. Like, sort of like a power dynamic flip of, like, the paranoia thriller thing. But it has, like, a fairly understated but kind of shocking ending, which I like. It's a neat pull.
This sounds awesome. I want to watch this right now.
You should really, yeah. I think you would like it a lot. And as I said, it invokes similar feelings to It Follows, but without the supernatural element. And it plays a little bit more with, like, who's in control in a given moment.
That sounds excellent. I was, like, down at the river pulling more water to extinguish flames if we need to. But, no, that sounds great.
Yeah, it's cool.
I would love to see that.
Yeah.
In fact, I think it's fast-tracked on my list.
It's on Shudder as well.
Consider it. In fact, I think PD Beats, owner of Popternative, recommended that. Or creator of Popternative recommended that to me.
There you go.
Shout out to PD Beach.
Shout out to PD. Do we want another story?
I could tell you guys a story.
You got one?
You think? Should I go? Or
go ahead.
Or do you?
You got a bag.
So you got an ender on you?
I'm close. I'm gonna figure out something.
So I'm gonna tell you guys a little story. I worry that I've told this on a podcast before. I know I've told this story to Corey, but at this point, so much of our conversations have been recorded and so much haven't been, so I don't know where it's landed. I know for a fact I haven't told this story on one of our Scary Story Halloween annual episodes, so I'll give it a shot, and I hope it's enjoyable. So submitted for the approval of the TMAO Club and the Midnight Society. I am opening a bag of salt right now because I've always wanted to do this.
This is so cool. Liam has props.
I call this story The Tale of the Haunted Oatmeal. Wow. How did that work on the show?
Maybe it wasn't real salt. Maybe throw more.
Do a better throw.
Yeah, we can all do it.
You just take this from inside?
Did you bring this?
I brought it.
Maybe it has to be rock salt.
I think I actually read that it had to be a specific kind of salt.
I'll try.
Maybe, it feels good.
Maybe I'll do it.
Even though it doesn't light up all fancily.
Oh, this is granular salt.
It's only salt
I dropped a bunch of it in the bag, but whatever. Midnight Society.
So this salt did nothing for the fire.
Just
but
dump
it
all
felt
of the salt on the
it.
Fire and see what happens. I thought you were pulling out a bag of the powder that makes the fire change color.
All right, so
that would have been nice.
I'm about
too.
To dump an
did.
Entire bag of salt in the fire. Stay tuned. I feel like this could be part of a found audio horror film. You know, if that's the next step.
I found audio.
The next thing, like VHS is one thing, but the next thing is going to be MP3.
MP3 23.
Where was that joke an hour ago?
He didn't have the fire to invigorate him.
That kind
of
did it.
Some little sparkies. Okay, the tale of the haunted oatmeal.
Please.
That looks good. It sparked all up. Okay. So, the year is 1985. I'm filming with a VHS camera. Okay. The year is actually 2018, and I'll call it Halloween night.
Because that's what it was.
That's right. No. We'll say it was Halloween. It's Halloween morning. And I get out of bed and I have my routine oatmeal in the morning. In 2018, I was eating a lot of oatmeal. Some peanut butter, some bananas, some cinnamon. I like the rolled oats. That's what I was eating at the time. Oh, this fire's looking nice. Yeah.
The flames are green from the salt.
And I finish this bowl of oatmeal. And I look over at the Tupperware where I keep my oatmeal, and I see that there's no oats left in it. You know, I get this is the raw oats. I'm not talking instant Quakers.
Steel-cut oats.
That's the thing. It wasn't steel-cut.
It's for pussies.
It was the rolled oats. The big old flakes. Well, that's what I was wondering, if it was for pussies. So I take the train into school, my morning journalism class that Mitch and Corey were also in. And
the Dornan vibes?
Not Dornan, no.
That's much later.
And the whole train ride over, I'm thinking, I'm out of oatmeal. I need oatmeal for tomorrow. I will go to the store on my way home from school and get more oatmeal. And I get to class, and they're talking about some, it might be the most exciting thing in the world, but at that point, I was not interested. And my mind starts drifting. And I am thinking about the lack of oatmeal in my apartment, and I know I have to pick up oats as I've done 100 times before, but because I have nothing to do in this class but think or listen to the lecture, and I choose the former, I start wondering, well, hey, there's a different kind of oats that exists. There is steel cut, because I've been eating the rolled, the big flakes. Steel cut exists. And so I'm thinking to myself, what is the difference between steel cut oats and rolled oats? I know they look different, but I don't actually know.
What are the fundamental changes?
That's right. And if I knew that, perhaps I would be able to better choose, because maybe I need some variety on this Halloween morning. And I didn't want to take out my phone and look this up, because I was only in the second row in this lecture. The teacher is but a stone's throw away from me. And I wasn't one of those kids that brought a laptop to class. I probably should have. I would have taken much better notes. But I just had a notepad and paper like a goddamn pilgrim. So I wasn't able to...
like an absolute Luddite, bro.
So what am I going to do? I can't figure out the difference between oats by drawing an equation on my note. So that's all I was doing. I was meditating. It was a hour and a half long class with a break in the middle and then another hour and a half. So all I had to do was think about the oats. And as I'm mulling this over and my mind is wandering, my eyes start to wander as well. And I look at the only row in front of me. And of course, there's a line of students with laptops, because these kids are much better at taking notes than me. And they are also much better at entertaining themselves when their minds start to wander too. You know, I would... All throughout my university career, I look at kids on laptops, and they're, like, using iMessage, which I didn't know existed until university, actually. I saw people use, like, texting on laptops. I thought I was in the future. And, you know, kids use laptops to watch hockey games and stuff. Or kids use laptops to take notes. So when I'm bored in class, I look around at laptops occasionally. And that's what I did tonight. My gaze is drifting. My mind is on oats. And my gaze lands on the woman directly in front of me. I could reach out and tap her very shoulder if I wanted to. And I watch as she scrolls her little cursor over to Google Chrome. She opens it. She clicks on the search bar and she types difference between steel cut and rolled oats. She hits enter and she just starts reading. That's a true story.
I believe it. That's just... So what was the answer? What is the difference between rolled and steel cut oats?
There's nothing scary about this. It's breakfast. People eat oats. All right?
You need to...
There's nothing scary about...
You need to live a little.
There's nothing scary about this. People eat oats for breakfast.
You don't believe in happenstance and fate and the serendipity of the universe?
Of course I believe in fate. But oats? Fate and oats?
If people could see Jesus. I believe in Holland oats, not faded oats.
Listen, the Quaker man.
Uh-huh.
He's up there. He's dead now. He's been dead for years. He's up there in the sky. And he's overseeing the oat company, you know?
Yeah.
From the great hereafter.
The long goodbye.
And when I think of all the eventualities that he must see up there, it's... questioning the product at breakfast hour is just like it's the next thing. Fate. What does fate have to do with breakfast?
What does oats have to do with you?
I got a fire to attend to.
I think it's incredible, Liam.
Thank you very much.
Do you know who it was?
I don't remember her name, but I could point her out to you, and I bet you guys would know her.
I would love to know. Yeah. I'm going to let Mitch attend to this fire here. I think I've got a little something.
Take us home, Corey.
Can I, or Mitch, do you have something post-Samara you'd like to do?
Bro, I'm sorry I shit on your story.
That was not a rhetorical question, by the way. Are you just Samara-ing, or do you have another? You don't need another, I'm just asking. You can just
maybe
Samara.
Wanna like buy me some time for a minute?
I'm gonna tell one.
Buy me some time. I'm gonna run up to the house and I'll be right back.
Do you want, so should I start telling mine or no?
You can start, but I'm sprinting up.
Okay.
Okay. Sure. I'll be back in like two shakes of a rolled oat.
Sure. So,
and 1.5 shakes of steel cut oats. That was the difference.
They roll different?
Yeah, they shake.
Or they shake
it,
different,
they shake
I should
at
say.
Slightly different velocities.
So, I'm going to ask you
standing for this story.
I just want to get limber, bro. There's a way that I want to sort of set this up. Let's just look up for a second. This is a unique sort of opportunity. We live in a city with like a good amount of light pollution, and there's a few lights on here like now, even still, but by the fire we can just look up and see just a nighttime sky just absolutely full of stars.
Beautiful.
Which is truly beautiful, and we're sitting by the water, we have this fire going, and it's easy to just sort of look up and stare, maybe spot a constellation or two. I think one of the dippers is over there, if you look. You see the square? Oh, it is. It actually is. I was sort of joking, but I think it actually is.
Holy shit, you're a fucking astrologist.
Well, it's funny that you should say that. So, I do this, like, not all the time, but more than I probably ought to. Sometimes when I'm driving home at night, and I should say that this is typically if I'm coming from somewhere other than Ottawa, and I'm, like, on the highway... And I'm in an area where, like, you don't have streetlights, the roads aren't busy, you don't have headlights, you don't have light pollution. I'll notice that if it's a clear night like this and there's no clouds and you can just look up, I will just pull over to the side of the road and I will turn my car off, which is the part that I probably shouldn't do, and I will just sort of wander and look up.
Holy shit.
I don't do this all the time. I could probably count the number of times I have, in part because I know it's dangerous, in part because you don't get that many opportunities to do it. But I truly do think that there is something really uniquely mesmerizing about just being able to look up and see everything that we're seeing here. And every once in a while, I find myself just overtaken with the urge to take advantage of the opportunity to do that. Which is odd because I don't like study this astronomy or astrology. I don't really know a lot about the stars or space, but I don't need to know much more than looking up and wanting to enjoy that. Though sometimes I suppose it's better advised than others. I was once driving back, I'm assuming from my hometown, but for a large...
I was drunk as hell, I can't remember.
No, I mean, it was either my hometown or like one other spot, but there's large chunks of the drive back that are two-lane highway. Like, it's not this big, sprawling sort of metropolis of a highway. It's just two lanes, and typically, there will be big rock faces along either side of it, and those will give way to fields, and then you'll get some of those cliff faces back. It'll alternate through it. It's a landscape that, if you know the area, it's like pretty dime a dozen, but there's this sort of unique look to it. And I tend to try to not go right up against where the rocks are, just because it seems like closed off and kind of bad. So I'm looking up, and I'm noticing that the sky is just completely clear, and there's just so many stars, and I'm just like, I want to take a chance to just savor this. It's late. It's like probably approaching 12 by the time that I'm doing this. So I pull over, I stop, there's nobody coming, so I just pop out of the driver's seat and I go, and I just look up, and I sort of start like wandering around the median, and I just kind of look up, I'm looking around, and I realize that my lights are still on, and that's sort of taken away from a little bit of the effect, right? Because I'm right next to it. It's sort of sucking the fun out of it. So I go, turn those lights off, maybe pop the hazards on for a little bit of safety. But I'm just sort of wandering a little bit at this point. There's been maybe one or two other cars, but not a lot that was sort of particularly noticeable. But as I'm wandering down the median, or the shoulder, I guess, of the highway, it's just gravel, right? Like, this is not a particularly built-up highway. And it gives way to this just empty field. This was in the summer, so everything's still growing. It's just crops. It's like corn or something. And it's quiet. There's no other cars. There's a little bit of wind. There's a little bit of rustling in the field, which I guess you can attribute to a lot of things, like rodents or like rabbits or just the wind. But as I'm standing there trying to take this in, you know, I'm hearing the rustling. It's just sort of like rhythmically happening, and I don't really think anything about it because, you know, I'm mesmerized by the stars. A couple cars go by. You try to not look like a psycho standing on the side of the highway just looking. But it just sort of keeps rustling. And I'm already out here. The curiosity has already killed this cat. You know what I mean? This cat is dead as shit. So I'm just looking around, and I'm like, I'm gonna go over this field. I'm gonna see what's in this field. And I'm walking over, and it's just rustling, and it's like there's like something like running around in it, and I don't really know what its deal is. And right as I'm walking up to it, there. You ever, like, spot your cat in your house and there's just two eyes just suddenly piercing, like, through you?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going up and I'm leaning in.
I'm allergic to cats.
You've never seen a cat before?
I think, like, once or twice.
Bro gets no pussy. I'm approaching, and as I'm leaning in to, like, give this field like a shake just to see, these eyes just appear and like something just shoots out of the fucking field, much bigger than a cat, significantly larger than a cat. You were anticipating a cat. You are wrong. And so I jumped back out of the way, fucking horrified at whatever it is, and I spin around, and I'm going to see what it is, and I'm walking forward, and right as I'm coming, there's a car coming down from the highway, and I'm like, well, I can't stand in the middle of the road of the highway. So I'm standing in the road, I jump back out of the way onto the shoulder, car comes flying by, and it's just gone. But there's this big gap in the field. I go and I look at it, and there's just like weird, couldn't figure, like hoof prints, maybe like deer or something. It was pretty big. And
perhaps it was the devil.
Perhaps it was the devil.
Perhaps it was Daniel Webster.
And I just sort of, maybe it was down with Webster.
Daniel Webster.
I know.
You know the story.
But
he sells his soul for Hessian gold.
He does do that. But and that kind of, you know, that shakes you out of the idea of hanging out on the shoulders of highways for a while. And so I just sort of got back in the car, and I just kind of sat there for a second and sort of composed myself. And I went to go drive away, and I pulled out back onto the highway, and I looked back in the rearview mirror, and as I was pulling away, those very same eyes sitting in the rearview mirror.
It's fucking in the back seat.
Like on the road. In the like down the road. And that was my encounter with some sort of creepy animal.
With the devil. No, I know that story can't be true because you wouldn't have got out of your car. You wouldn't have got out of your car. Who are you kidding?
You know what's funny? I'll ruin the illusion here. The true part of that story is that sometimes on the highway, I get out of my car and I look at the sky.
That's very poetic.
It is, I think.
I like that. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I doubted you.
It's okay.
And I'm also sorry I shit on the steel cut out story, you know? I mean, shit. We're all just here around the fire.
Trying to have a good time.
Telling stories. I actually have a recent tale of terror to regale you with.
Okay.
Well, perhaps later a longer one, but this is an immediate one that just happened.
I think we just need one.
Well, this is very brief.
You're the one who's put
this
on a time.
This is very brief.
Crunch.
I've got one that I've been...
I'll take two stories.
I've got one that I...
Hold on. Did Liam like my story? I heard you.
For what it's worth, I loved your story.
No, thanks. You didn't hear all of it, but okay.
I love that tale. That's really creepy, and I've never thought about pulling over on the side of a rural road and shutting off the car lights, even though I have done that before.
It's cool.
With friends back in high school, but I've never thought about
doing it by myself. I should start
doing
it on roads. You're right, and not like highways.
Yeah.
I should start doing it on roads with lower speed
limits. So you actually turn the car lights off?
I've done it, yeah.
You know what that gets me thinking?
I don't do it for very long because it's dangerous.
To quote the late, great Gordon Lightfoot, it was a carefree highway.
Indeed.
You know what I mean?
God rest his soul.
I just think about the missing person cases I've read about where, like, someone's car has been found on the side of the road turned off.
Yeah.
And I always think, what the heck happened? I never actually considered that someone might just have pulled over to look at the stars and then got fucking taken by a bobcat or something.
I don't always turn the lights off.
Took them.
In one case, I just, like, had the car and just like put the windows down so I didn't lock myself out and just like walked a little down the road.
It's probably
I try to do it as safely as humanly possible.
Given the hooves, I mean, it's obviously very tantalizing that it was the spawn of devil.
Beelzebub.
I think it's much like more likely that it was just the deer, you know? I mean, there's so many of them.
Yeah, that part wasn't real.
Yeah. I knew it. See, I knew the whole thing was, it's all a complete fabrication.
I told Liam earlier that I had a real thing that I did and I was trying to spin a story out of it.
Oh, see, I missed that
part.
And
then you assumed that the real part was the fake part.
I missed that part. I missed that part because I was running to get another drink. But when I returned, I actually found another.
Donkey Kong Country Returns.
I found another horror. Liam, would you kindly turn on a light if you can? You know, you don't have a flashlight, do you? Allow me. Would you kindly read the
Is this a horror story? Is this a non-alcoholic Heineken?
This can says alcohol-free beer with natural flavors.
You've been absolutely punk fucked,
dude. I reached into the fridge and grabbed the first one without even looking. Without even looking. The height of my pride and my ego, I just reached in and thought that it would always be there. In life, we often reach into whatever and think that things will stay the same and that we can grab things that are familiar and pull them into our lives and they'll always be there. But sometimes you reach in and you pull out a non-alcoholic Heineken.
That's terrifying.
Terrifying.
A fate worse than Samara.
I think one of the most scary things in life is change. And it's something that we all can't avoid.
So true.
And it comes for us all, just like death. Change. And sometimes that change is a change in your beer roster. Sometimes it's a change in personal relationships. Sometimes it's change in work, change in whatever. But you can't avoid it. Can't avoid it.
This non-alcoholic beer is empty as well. Is the twist that you've been drinking non-alcoholic beer the whole night and thinking that you're drunk and now you realize you're not?
Just one. Just one non-alcoholic beer. But terrifying, nevertheless. Shit, I stopped talking because I'm waiting for Corey to take a photo of me. There we go. Yes, non-alcoholic beer. It is a very terrifying. So that's one tale that I have to share. There is another.
Do you want to take us home with one more?
There is a California champagne by Paul Masson.
Fuck you!
It's vintage. Oh my god, fuck you. Like the bottle. No, anyway, that's a great reference. Yes, there is one story I have to tell.
Okay. Go ahead.
Look at you. Look at you. You sit there in your ivory tower. You wait. I don't know what for. We're all waiting in life for something. I remember that night very well. I went out on the roads to go to a certain place. It was dark out there, darker than a midnight in Persia. But I kept going down the road. And then I came upon it. An old set of stairs. They were there in the middle of the woods, covered in moss, with a set of doors over it. I opened it up. You know, life's a big game of chance, a game of roulette. And I bet it all on 13 black. And I watched the wheel spin round and round. I didn't win anything. Gotta place your bets in life. Gotta place them good. You shouldn't go down cellar doors, but I did. And I discovered the root cellar. And I was never the same. Few people find the root cellar and survive. You go down there with your pride and your ego and everything else that comes with you. Your sense of life, your sense of reality, your sense of relationships. But you go down there and it keeps you honest. And nothing in life can keep you honest. Not like the root cellar. Not like the root cellar.
Is there a Marlon Brando in the house? Dude, that was so fucking good. That was unreal. Did you just pull that like off dome? Yeah. Dude.
Yeah. I just came up
with that. That was so good. There's nothing like the root cellar, dude. That's the title of this one.
That might be the second root cellar that's ever been recorded.
You think so?
Oftentimes I just get drunk and then like I come up with these bits about this fictional place called the Root Cellar. There is truth to it. There's a kernel of truth. I mean, my dad used to tell stories about this. He grew up on a farm with, you know, I think like 100 acres or something. And years before there was this an old manor that was on the grounds, and it burned to the ground in the 19th century. And my grandfather, and not in the 19th century, in the early 20th century, and my grandfather was raised in what would have been the servant's house much further away. But there were all like these remains of buildings, kind of not really remains, but at that point it was just like there's like this thing called the milk house where like the cows would feed, and there was this place that I'm not even sure if it existed that my grandfather and great grandfather would fictionalize about, called the Root Cellar, where it was just like these old doors in the middle of the woods that opened down somewhere down to a cellar where you would just keep like whatever things to perish down there, like non-perishable things, like if you were canning something you would put it down there in the days before refrigeration. But it took on this kind of mythical quality in his life, looking for the Root Cellar. And he told me the tale of the Root Cellar, and I just thought the name was so evocative that I've transformed it into this bit when I get drunk. I'm not drunk now, but because I've been drinking non-alcoholic beers. But that's another story. Anyway,
I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, that was great. The performance was spectacular.
I hope you all enjoyed this Halloween episode. I hope you were able to listen to it while you're doing whatever Halloween festivities, carving a pumpkin, doing a spooky crossword, decorating your house, handing out candy,
tricking, treating,
going to the Root Cellar,
drinking
alcoholic beer.
And if you're listening to this when it's not Halloween,
I hope it invokes a little bit of spooky in your day.
That's right. I live my life like it's Halloween all year round. So listen to this anytime.
And don't forget to look up at the stars every once in a while.
You can never escape it. The Root Cellar. It's waiting for you. Not very far away, just around the corner. I don't know which corner, but it's there. And you're gonna turn that corner one day. We all do. Happy Halloween.